Well, we have three short portions of God's Word this evening. The first, turn with me to Paul's second epistle to Timothy. Paul's second epistle to Timothy and chapter 3. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 3, and we'll read the first seven verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now turning back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll read the first 11 verses. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for ever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold, your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And the last is in the Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for ever. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, turn with me to the words we sought to look at this morning in St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and reading verse 27. St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, we sought to look a little this morning at this verse, and indeed at parts of the chapter. We notice that the first 10 verses refer very much to the sheepfold and the under-shepherds, and then verses 11 to 18 of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, who giveth his life for the sheep. And then in verses 25 to 30, the safety of the sheep. And we sought to trace out just a little of what it is to be an under-shepherd. And we thought in particular of Pastor Challen and his exercises as he comes week in and week out, seeking to deliver those truths, those things that have been laid upon his heart, and the exercise that there is that a pastor, and only a pastor, knows of, that peculiar exercise as he seeks to be led into the paths of the dear people. And so, as he is away seeking a time of refreshment, how it behoves us each to pray very much that the Lord will indeed bless him, to use a common expression, to recharge his batteries, to bless him in his own soul, and Anita, as she labours with him and sees him, how none of you ever see him. Oh, how it is, as we remark to our loved ones, they see us, don't they, in our lowest places. And that's no different for the under-shepherd, for the preacher of God's word. Oh, how the enemy, I mentioned in prayer, how that often a Sunday evening, a Monday, can be dreadful days, really, for the preacher of the gospel. Because, you know, if something has been done to the honour and glory of God for the good of never dying souls, the enemy, he doesn't like it, does he? And he'll seek to wreak havoc. And so how it behoves us to be much in prayer. Well, we looked, didn't we, at the solemnness, at the solemnity of that Pharisaic spirit. Of those Pharisees that were so upset in the 9th chapter with that man that was blind and Jesus had given him his sight. And how it was that they weren't satisfied until they had cast him out. And nothing's changed, has it? As our friend was speaking this afternoon, as Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. And how there are those that they would seek to lead the people of God up some other way. But Jesus says, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. We read in one of our readings this evening, didn't we, from the Paul's epistle to Timothy, his second epistle, and chapter 3, speaking of the last times. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And our reading finished, didn't it, at the 7th verse, where he says, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, dear friends, our text, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How essential it is for the under-shepherd to remain faithful. Oh, to speak of those things that the Lord has laid upon his heart. And you know, the congregation, so well taught, so fed, they'll recognize when a hireling comes. Oh, when one that is not the true servant of God, one that would seek to lead them up some other way, that would bring in some novelty, some different way, some different form of worship. But, oh, dear friends, how essential it is for the true-born child of God to be fed under a living ministry. That's it, isn't it? Life in the soul. That's what we want, isn't it? And so it is, you know, with sheep generally, not being disparaging to sheep, but, you know, in general, we could say, couldn't we, that a sheep is fairly clueless. Hasn't got a lot of clue, have they? Oh, wherever one goes, the rest follow, don't they? Whether it's into danger or not. I read in the newspaper probably a year or so ago now that in Wales there was some illegal cannabis plants that had been grown. For some reason, I suppose, to try and destroy, to get rid of the scent, probably the person contravening the law and growing this cannabis had some wind of the fact that he was about to be caught. But regardless of that, whoever it was, they dumped this lot of cannabis plants on the roadside in Wales. Well, the sheep There was a hole, presumably in the hedge. And one of the sheep escaped through the hole, and of course the rest followed. And they came across these cannabis plants. Well, you know what cannabis does? Cannabis, it makes you behave out of character, doesn't it? You know how sheep, they're very timid, aren't they? They, as Jesus said, they won't respond to just anybody's voice, will they? They'll respond to the voice of the shepherd. But you know, these sheep, they were so high on this cannabis, they would go to anyone. Oh, there they were. They turned out to be so friendly. They were on what we would call a high. And you know, dear friends, that's just what the hireling, that's just what the hireling seeks to do. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. Yes, he's quite happy that they can be led into danger. Yes, he's been seeking to lead them up some other way. But when all fails, he goes. He goes. He's nowhere to be seen. And friends, and oh, how it behoves us to realise that in and of ourselves, we're just like those sheep, aren't we? We're clueless. But for the grace of God, we could be anywhere tonight other than in the house of God, couldn't we? It's all of grace, isn't it? Oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that a sheep, as Jesus said, that a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, I don't know whether you have read or come into contact with a book by Douglas Macmillan entitled The Lord Our Shepherd. He was a well-known Scottish preacher, and I believe it was in 1979 that he preached at one of the conferences in Wales. And I believe the preaching was over the course of a week. And he preached very much on Psalm 23. And as I say, it's entitled The Lord Our Shepherd. Now, dear Douglas Macmillan, he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd before being called to the ministry. And I believe that he went to theology, to the school of theology. Not absolutely certain. It could have been to a normal university. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. He went away from home. And he'd been gone for a long time, and his brother took over the duty of shepherds. Well, he came back home for a break, and he went out with his brother to the sheep. And he said to his brother, "Let me call them. Let's see if they'll still respond to me." And it was a well-known fact that he and his brother both spoke very much alike. If one of them answered the telephone, you didn't know which one it was. Such was the similarity in their voices. Well, you know, dear Douglas, he called the sheep just exactly as he'd always done, and absolutely no response. His brother called them. Oh, to you and I, the voice was the same. But not to the sheep. Oh, the sheep recognized immediately, "This is my shepherd. This is the one that I am to respond to." And so they came. Oh, they came as they always did. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Oh, friends, how is it, why is it that Jesus that Jesus, that he loves his sheep so, that every one is dear to him, as we noticed this morning, that it's so personal, isn't it? Oh, he knoweth everyone. He knoweth them. We noticed, didn't we, in that third verse, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Oh, the sweetness of this! My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, Peter in writing in his first epistle, and he says there in the first chapter and the 18th and 19th verses, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Oh, that's it, isn't it? That's why he loves his people so. They've been purchased at such a cost. You know, a shepherd generally speaking, and particularly in the Holy Land, a shepherd's job is the lowest of the low. He's there, he works unsociable hours, he's generally poor, he saves enough money to buy a sheep. And the sheep, oh, how the sheep is so precious to him. Oh, the shepherd, he's bought these sheep at such a cost, and it's his livelihood. And so it is that he watches over them. He watches over them. Oh, you know how it is that there are the steep hills, the canyons, the wild beasts. And the shepherd, he's ever alert. He's ever alert to watch over his sheep. They mean so much to him. Well, Jesus, oh, how he humbled himself. What humility. What humility. Oh, how degraded he was. How he was mocked. How he was spat upon. And all of that, this mock trial, and scourged. Oh, it's said, isn't it, that under the Roman scourge, that there were many that died under it. And yours and my Jesus, that's what he suffered, that dreadful scourge. Some seek to explain the scourge, or that which it entails. But oh, suffice it to say, dear friends, that if you and I know anything of our own sins, why, we are filled, aren't we? We're filled with godly sorrow. You know, one of the hymns goes, "Dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. And when my mourning days are over, enjoy thy blessed comforts evermore." Now, you know, why is it that you and I, the children of God, we mourn over our sins? There was once in public prayer, I repeated that. Often used to make it my prayer, desire that it might still be so now. And you know, a preacher of the gospel, he came to me afterwards, not from our own persuasion, I hasten to add, but he said, "You don't need to pray that prayer now. All your sins, they're cast behind a holy God's back. They've been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. You've no need to mourn over your sins now. Well, that's exactly why we do mourn, isn't it? Because we know the cost, and we know that we're still sinners. Oh, we don't. If we know anything of ourselves, we don't just casually come at the end of the day and in the quietness of wherever it may be, go down on our knees and pray before the Lord, and we don't just glibly say, "And pardon my sins." Oh, and how often it is, isn't it, that there will be something, isn't there? There's something which we have to name it. We have to name it before the Lord. You know, that's desperately humbling, isn't it? Desperately humbling to name that sin. Perhaps it's a besetting sin that you may have. Oh, to be rid of this besetting sin. And the Lord, he's pleased to draw out from us by the Holy Spirit to bring it to him, to name it to him. And you know that, dear friends, oh, there's such blessing in that, isn't there? To mourn over our sins as we plead the precious blood of Jesus, to plead his name, his righteousness. And so it is, dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. And when my mourning days are over, enjoy thy comforts evermore. Well, you know, dear friends, as we think then of this, what Peter wrote in his first epistle, that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The shepherd, oh, the shepherd, as we have said, that he puts himself in danger. He puts himself in danger. And oh, how that Jesus, that he paid the price of sin, even with his own precious blood. You know, as we think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knows now that his hour has come. You remember how on several occasions there were those that they came to take him, but he would disappear. He would go away. He would say, "My hour is not yet come." There was that time appointed. And here he is now in the garden. And we're told that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And further, we're told, and being in an agony. Oh, and he prayed, didn't he? "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he'd ever known, hadn't he, from way back in eternity, all that covenant that was agreed between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that man would fall. Oh, the first Adam, he would fall and we would all fall with him. But oh, Jesus, at the last Adam, that he would come, and as all fell in Adam, so his dear people, the election of grace, they should all arise, they should all be restored as he died. As he died, as he took upon himself the sins of all of his people. So that as he rose triumphant from the grave, so there is that blessed portion for each one of his people, that they too shall rise again that they shall be with him where he is. But, oh dear friends, how that it is that the sheep in the meantime, we were speaking, weren't we, of being a mourner and of a sheep being clueless. And you know sheep, as we've spoken about them, wandering. I remember when a lad, I was on a bus. And it was in the days when you had the bus driver and you had the conductor. And you would seldom see the bus driver out of his cab. But you know, the bus came to a halt, wasn't at a bus stop. And the driver, he jumped out of the cab. And he went and he jumped over this stile of this field. And he went running across the fields. And there was a sheep. There was this sheep that it was on its back. It was on its back. Now, I'm told that if a sheep falls over onto its back, it's really impossible for the sheep to right itself. Cannot get back up again on its feet. It's to do with the gases in the stomach. They start bubbling up. And it's impossible for them to get up. Well, this bus driver, he turned the sheep up again, put the old thing on its feet, and then he came running back, not quite as fast as he did running to the sheep, but he came running back over the stile, back in the bus, and off he went. And you know, dear friends, oh, as we've read, haven't we, and sung this afternoon, he restoreth my soul. Doesn't that make your heart break with love? When we, just like the sheep, that there are those things that we become intoxicated with. And we go off the rails. But oh, just as that bus driver came and he lifted that sheep back onto its feet, so the Lord, oh the Lord, he calls, doesn't he? He comes just where he is. We prove again and again and again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, dear friends, you think of where we would be but for the grace of God, but for him sending his only begotten Son into the world, but for that sin atoning sacrifice, but for redeeming love and blood. Oh, what would be the prospect? The prospect would be perishing. Not annihilated, no. But forever estranged from God. Forever in the pit of hell. Oh, are there any of you here this evening that really don't give a thought to these things? Or perhaps it is that you sometimes have a prick of conscience when in the house of God, but that's as far as it goes. You just pick yourself up again, dust yourself down, and away you go. Oh, make it your plea. Lord, wilt thou not speak to me? May I not be one of those for whom, who hears, who recognizes the voice of Jesus? Oh, who when my pastor, when the preacher of the gospel is preaching, that I lose sight of him, and my desire is to see no man save Jesus only, to hear the voice of God. Oh, that's a precious desire. Make it your prayer. Oh, go home. Kneel down by your bed. Take your Bible in your hand. Turn to St. John chapter 10 and make this our text, your plea. Oh, make it say, oh dear Lord, might I be one of your sheep? Might I be one of thy lambs? Oh, might I be able to say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me? Might I hear the voice of Jesus saying, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears? Oh, you know, dear friends, how it is, isn't it, that our tears are in his bottle. And you know that there's tears of repentance. Oh, he'll bring you to mourn over your sins. He'll bring you to see just a little of how wretched your heart is. But oh, he'll reveal to you as much as you can bear. And then he'll show you himself, a precious Jesus. Oh, and that's how it is, isn't it? That we're drawn to him. Drawn to him and mourning over our sins. You know, there's a vast difference between being convicted and being convinced. You know how it is that you get somebody that they've committed an offence, and the judge, he sends them into prison. Now, you know how often we hear statistics of how offenders, those who have been in prison, it's not long that after they've been released that they reoffend and they're back in the prison. They've been convicted, but they haven't been convinced. And it's not until the prisoner is there languishing in the jail, and he comes to this, I have done wrong, I'm here because I've done wrong, and I resolve not to do it again. He's now not only been convicted by the judge, by the law, but he's now convinced that what he has done is wrong, and he resolves not to do it again. Well, dear friends, that's just how it is with a seeking soul. Oh, with a seeking soul, one whom the Lord begins with, and they're brought under conviction, brought under the law. And the law, you know, the law spells death, it shouts death. But gospel sings of sweeter things, of sweeter things. Gospel, oh, it sings of life. It sings, it declares, let the sinner live. And oh, friends, and how that is, that all convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I come. Oh, convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wandering view reveal the secret love of God. That's it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know that the Lord, as we think of his protection, and how that we've read of the hireling, and how that Jesus said in the 11th verse, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. Several years ago, the the text, the sermon on the Lord's Day was, and the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was in the prison, you remember. And we have it repeated two or three times, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. And we sang, one of the hymns we sang was with that refrain, I am coming, Lord. Coming, Lord, to thee, wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Well, 2 days later, on the Tuesday, I was travelling direct from work to the prayer meeting. And on the way to the prayer meeting, I came across a diesel spillage that was coming from a building site and had come across the road, and myself and five other cars, we went completely out of control. And with myself, that there I was heading, well, it seemed to me as if the telegraph pole was coming at 100 miles an hour towards me, a most frightening experience. And I don't know whether, friends, whether I said it aloud, I know not, but it was this, I am coming, Lord, to thee, wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. And friends, and as I collided with the telegraph pole, things seem to be going slow motion. If you've had an experience like that, it seems to sort of take a lot longer than what it actually is. But I remember that the car then lurched forward, and I landed with the bonnet in the ditch. And I felt, I'm still here. And then there was a sudden crash on the roof, and that was the telegraph pole came down and really did even more damage than what was ever done, and with difficulty I got out of the car. But you know, a sovereign protector I have, the Lord was with Joseph. And you know, dear friends, how it is that the Lord, he prepares you and I, doesn't he? Do you seek to be prepared for the Lord's will? Oh, there are things, aren't there? They come into our lives unlooked for. But there is something, isn't there? There is something that the Lord, he often speaks to us, doesn't he? Through the preaching of the word, through the reading of his word, through meditating, quiet meditation, whatever it may be. And the world would say it's a sixth sense. No, no, no. Oh, how the Lord, that he's gracious, isn't he, to his dear people. And how we're brought, aren't we, to seek to store up prayers against all that may be future. Those things that the Lord is going to bring into our path as we take up our cross and follow him, taking up our cross daily. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yes, through thick and thin. Oh, to seek to ever follow Jesus. Yes, his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ, my Lord, suffer? And shall I repine? Oh, and so it is that as he prayed in the garden, didn't he? As we've already alluded to, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And friends, but oh, how on the cross, oh, as the wrath of God was poured upon him. And there he was, separated, as it were, as God hid his face, as he paid the penalty for sin and this darkness that we spoke of this morning. And now it is not my Father, my God, why? Have you got a why in your life this evening? Is there some hard question that you have this evening? Well, friends, oh, Jesus, yours and my Jesus, God himself in the person of his own dear Son, he knows all about it. Tell him about it. It was him who said, oh, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? That's an encouragement, isn't it? And you know it's an encouragement to you and I when it is this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And sometimes there you are thinking, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too much. No, Lord, some other way, but not this way. Take encouragement. Yours and my Jesus. Oh, has he prayed? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's for yours and my encouragement. Oh, he ever knew that he was to take and drink of this bitter cup. He never knew. Oh, he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But, oh, dear friends, how he then has, doesn't he? We then see that humble, sweet submission. As Peter, there he is, he tries, doesn't he? Oh, he tries, poor Peter, dear Peter, that he seeks to take matters in his own hands. And there, with a sword, there he cuts off that ear. But Jesus says, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Shall I not drink it? And oh, friends, how he went out to meet the foe, didn't he? Oh, he goes out to meet the foe. He says, whom seekest thou? Oh, the first Adam, he hid from God, didn't he? And God comes in the garden saying, where art thou? Where art thou? And you and I, we all fell with Adam, didn't we? All there, destined for an eternity in hell. But oh, the second Adam, the last Adam, yours and my Jesus, our Redeemer, our friend, that he goes out to meet the foe. Where and whom? Whom seekest thou? Friends, he was blessed, wasn't he? He blesses you and I in those trying pathways, those trying dispensations, that he encourages you and I to look to Jesus, kind and strong, to seek to have fellowship with him in his sufferings. Oh, and as these things are applied, so they're sanctified. And so that hard case that you may have tonight, or that you're bound to have in the future, and you have these hard questions, these whys, you bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus, because he knows it all. He knows it all. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's our great high priest. He ever lives to intercede for us, so that we may come boldly to the throne of grace. And so we experimentally, oh, as he brings us into these things, he's speaking to us. And we prove again and again, yes, though I'm still a poor sinner, yet by his grace I can humbly claim to be one of his sheep. My sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, there was, you probably know the account of Rowland Hill, a very godly preacher. I think it was back in the 19th century, not completely sure now, but certainly well over 100 years ago. And he was known to be of a very generous spirit. And he was known to be very trustworthy, and he would come into contact with many that were living in poverty. And there were several that they would give Roland, they would give him money to distribute to the poor. Well, one day this person gave him £100. That was a lot of money in those days, equivalent to many thousands of pounds today. They gave him £100 with this instruction. It was all to be given to the most needy person he knew of. Well, this caused Rowland Hill many errands to the throne of grace. For one thing, certainly he knew who he'd got to give this money to. But if he gave it, all this whole £100 to this poor family, well, A, they probably wouldn't know how to handle it, and B, they would well be robbed. And so he took the matter to the Lord in prayer. And this was the end, this was the outcome. That he sent £5. He sent £5 to these people with a little note saying, "More to follow." And about a month later, he sent another £5 with a note, "More to follow." And so on and so on. And so that they began to look. Oh, they began to look for this £5 that would come so regularly. Now, dear friends, that's just how it is with this sovereign protector. This is just how it is with the grace of God. He gives and he gives and he gives again. And so it is that you and I, in our trials, in those things where we look for the Lord. Oh, he doesn't give us grace, he doesn't give us strength, he doesn't give us the answers for tomorrow's problems. No, it's often, isn't it? It's a daily walk. It's a walk by faith daily. And he gives us grace for today. And those hard things that you have in your life, perhaps today, or as I have said, will come, for as sure as night follows day, the people of God must walk through much tribulation to enter the kingdom. Oh, but it's this daily grace. And he loves, oh, how he loves his people to come pleading, oh, to come pleading to him, to remind him of those promises in the Word of God. Oh, and to remind him of those promises that you've had in the past and those blessings that you've received under the Word. And how it is that we come to him, don't we, for Jesus' sake. Yes, oh, how that he suffered, bled and died for his dear people. And so it is that as he ever lives to intercede for them, so he loves to hear his people come to the throne of grace. And yes, and to seek for that daily grace, for deliverance, for undertaking. Oh, you know how it was with Hezekiah. He came to that place, didn't he, where he said, "Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me." That's a low place to come, isn't it? That's when the going's really got tough. And as with an undertaker, what does an undertaker do? He does something that nobody else can do for a dead corpse, for a corpse. Why? He undertakes for that corpse. And sometimes, dear friends, that's how you and I are brought spiritually, aren't we? Oh, that we're there. We're there, we seem as though we can't go a moment further. We feel to be there in such deadness. But oh, to be brought there. Oh Lord, undertake for me. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Well, just in conclusion, this dear shepherd, we have there in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that most remarkable chapter of Christ's sufferings. And we read there in the last verse, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." You know how it was with dear Paul as he wrote to the Philippians. And he says in the 17th verse of that second chapter, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." And the margin has it, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, and I, if I be poured forth. That's it, isn't it? That sometimes it is that you and I, that as we follow Jesus, as we hear his voice, and we're called to follow him, so we have to give. We have to give much. As we started this morning on this sacrificial life that your pastor leads, well, so it is with every one of the people of God. There's that sacrificial life, but all to be poured forth, to enter into a little of the sufferings of Christ. I am poured forth like water. Well, you know how it is, dear friends, that with water, oh, as it pours forth, there's nothing to stop it, is there? There's nothing to prevent it. And so it is that with our Jesus, that all that there he willingly, he went and he suffered, he bled, he died, he made atonement for sin. And it's yours and my privilege as the followers of the Lamb to suffer with him. Oh, and if we suffer with him, so we shall reign with him. Oh, to be with Christ, which is far better, to see the King in his beauty without a veil between, and forever to hear his lovely voice. Jesus, he leads the song. Amen.